In a world filled with movies, comedies, dramas, thrillers, and action-packed adventures, only one podcast dives deep into the magnificent titles found on HBO Max, and only one man can host such a show. Me!
Wow, welcome back to the HBO Max Movie Club. I, last time I checked, and can confirm, am Matt Rogers, the host of this podcast. Every podcast needs one. I happen to fill the role on this podcast. You might listen to another podcast. It might not be the case, but every podcast is special in their own way. I think every host of a podcast brings something different to every podcast that they host. I think that that is definitely a way that you can spice up every different podcast is with the host. Now, that was sort of a long walk to get to the word spice, which is sort of a coveted substance in the film Dune. Now, I know what you're probably thinking there at home in the dark listening to this. I assume you're all sitting in the dark listening to this podcast. Does this person, Matt Rogers, the host of this podcast, even know what Dune is? Or is he sort of just like interested in the fact that there's the word spice and sort of navigating how to like figure that into the conversation? You're so right if you think that. I didn't know what the hell this movie was, Dune. I knew that it was directed by Denis Villeneuve. And I did not know how to pronounce that until seconds ago, but I think I did a good job. My guest is sort of giving me a two thumbs up. And Camila, our producer, actually studied French in high school, and she confirmed that she thought that my pronunciation was pretty good. Huge fan of this director. Arrival is one of my favorite movies ever. So I was interested in this film, Dune. I saw many big, loud trailers for the movie. And, you know, me being an appreciator of twinks, I knew that I wanted to support Timothée Chalamet. I refused to call him Timothy. And also, you know, in connection with my gayness, I saw that Zendaya was going to be in the movie, which is a huge indicator that something might be for me. If Zendaya is in something, it probably is for me. Now, you're sort of hearing me sort of spin out about like the actors and the creative team, but I have someone with me today, my greatest friend, really, and that's just the facts. And she is an appreciator of sci-fi, of fantasy, of, let's call it big adventure book, okay? My guest is an appreciator of what I call, and I think what they're going to go forward and call from now on, big adventure book. I knew that my guest was a huge appreciator of Game of Thrones and a huge appreciator of Lord of the Rings. I actually didn't really understand that Dune was also something she loved so much. And we're going to get into it because we actually got to see a screening of it. I mean, here's a little peek behind the curtain, everyone. Sometimes on this podcast, they'll just send me a screener and I have to watch it on my little computer. My computer's very little. But we got to go to a big theater and watch Dune, which is, get this, in theaters now and streaming on HBO Max for a limited time. So it's up to you to decide how you go about it, but I'm so happy with the way I went about seeing this film for two reasons. One, got to see it on the big screen. It's a big movie on a big screen. And I got to see it alongside my best friend, who you might know as a writer for, sorry, but Saturday Night Live, who you might know as a writer and producer on Sorry, But Shrill, okay? And coming up, there's big things in the future. She is actually writing for, and a co-EP, not for nothing, on the upcoming Showtime series, I Love This For You, which co-stars, get this, me. It's insane how that worked out. All this to say, the guest is a Dune super fan. She loved the movie. She's here to extol, and she's also here to explain. Two X's. Her name is Sudi Green. Hi, Sudi.
Hi, it's me, Sudi, read the book Green.
You identify as having read the book, don't you?
I identify as having read the book even when I haven't read the book, because I bring I read the book energy to every movie I see.
Can I ask you a question that's really more of a confrontation?
Absolutely.
So in high school, had you read the books?
The high school books?
Like, if there was a book to be read, if there was an assignment, let's say we're in, I'm just going to throw this out there, AP Lit.
Mm.
When you sort of get to the point where we're in AP Lit class having a discussion, had you read the book?
Well, I will say to all the AP kids out there, you're in AP for a reason, honey. Okay? And it's not just because you have a Persian mother like me. I can remember the one book in high school that I didn't read, which was Great Expectations, because there was an
entire... Great Expectations.
We had to read it, I think, sophomore year. And there was an entire chapter about toast. And I had heard in my class, because I'm always listening, always learning, I had heard that when Mr. Dickens was writing these books, he was releasing them kind of chapter by chapter as like sort of like a serial, kind of like the way podcasts come out now weekly. It was sort of like we're getting chapter by chapter, keep them hooked. You know, you're not reading it all at once until later.
100%.
So then I was like, this bitch wrote an entire chapter about toast to be like, okay, you guys want more? This week I'm giving you a toast. And I truly was like,
which is not enough.
I'm not doing this with Dickens. I'm not doing this format. You got to keep like the story going for me. And that was like so upsetting to me that that book in protest, I did not finish. I did watch the movie with Gwyneth Paltrow and that incredible.
Yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow, right?
Yeah, green, that green look, that green look. And was it Ethan Hawke? I watched that.
We love to hear that. I mean, and this is the big thing with books that I find is that so often they're movies too. And so nowadays...
Say that.
Nowadays we have this film Dune, one could say, right? And so I guess I ask you as an appreciator of capital B, big capital A adventure, capital B book, big adventure book.
Yeah.
When did you come upon Dune, the novel?
I cannot claim to be a Dunist, you know, but I am like, I would
but
say
you know so much about
to,
it.
Compared to literally everyone you know, I think that I am a Dunist. Like if we were going in the bowels of like sci-fi people, which I mean, one should never do, you'd find people who know a lot more about it. But I think I'm a good like bridge nerd for a lot of people. So I'm happy to play this role. I only read the first book and I'm going to say I read it in sixth grade. But no, I had like just fifth grade was all about Lord of the Rings to me. I read all of those books. You know, Harry Potter had done been a constant moment. Had yet to come upon Game of Thrones. That was more of a college thing for me. Yeah, before the show came out.
I think I remember seeing you discover Game of Thrones.
Yeah, because that was...
You were very excited about
definitely
it.
Definitely me in the Tisch Lounge with like one of those old copies of Game of Thrones that didn't have a cool cover, like had kind of like the bad fantasy cover that like... You know,
literally remember them being in your apartment.
Yeah, normal people are not going to pick up that like weird maroon book with like a bad illustration of a knight on it. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, whatever.
Yeah.
So after Lord of the Rings was kind of like looking for a new Lord of the Rings moment, came upon Dune. Very odd... trippy book written in like the 60s. And I think that's like kind of what it is interesting because it gives you kind of Star Trek vibes. It gives you Star Wars vibes. It's definitely space, but there's sort of this idea of like houses and like sort of there is like, you know, barons and not knights, but it's very kind of like King Arthur-esque kind of vibe. In space, you know, like Star Wars didn't have witches, which Dune does.
No,
Dune
they did
has
not.
Like a mysticism. It has like, you know, the spice. It has, you know, Star Wars has mysticism. That's the Force. But they didn't go like full, like we have a witch and we have magic.
This is what I would say about Dune. I'm a big Star Wars fan and I would call Dune mean Star Wars. I think Dune is nasty, bitchy, hard Star Wars. I think there were three jokes in this movie. You know what I mean? Like, would you say there was between two and three jokes in the movie? And I think Jason Momoa got all of them.
They had two or three jokes in the movie, and I'm going to count two of the jokes weren't jokes. They were men staring into battle about to die, and they smile kind of backwards. Like, that's a joke to do.
Yeah, I
love that. I mean, you said this. I love the movie. I thought it was such a
good
big budge, fight scene, big space budge. Movie. And when those are good, because so many of them are bad, I'm going to say it. Like, I'm on a 50-50 rate with Marvel, and that's like me grading on a curve. This was really fucking good, and I was in the whole time. And when you do see them, like, with all the bad guys coming to them, and they're holding like a weird sword and they kind of look backwards, I like literally get chills because it's just been like so long since I've like seen that. And I'm like, yes, be prepared to die, strong man.
I just need, this is my thing with movies. Like if it's all men, I really can't do it. Mm. Like, but they were, I was surprised because like, you know who's killing it in this movie? And well, I've talked about her a million times on this podcast because she was also in Reminiscence with Hugh Jackman. This Rebecca Ferguson.
Damn, Jessica.
Killed it.
Oh my God, a mom? Also, like, when do we ever get, like, a fierce mom? She plays Timothée's mom, who's also a Bene Gesserit, which is, like, these, like, weird fucking trippy-ass witches in Dune who are, like, their own secret society of, like, you know.
I liked them.
Courtly witches, fucking the Bene Gesserit. Mm-hmm. You'll love to see it. And Miss Jessica, her name is Jessica, which is incredible. The two main characters' names are not like Han Solo.
They're Paul and Jessica.
Paul and Jessica, which maybe were like exotic names in like the 60s when it was written.
Can I just say what I think happened when he was writing this book? Mm. I think he started writing a book.
Herbert.
I'm going to have two characters named Frank Herbert. I think he was like, I'm going to write a book. Mm. And he's like, there's two characters named Paul and Jessica. Then got bored, dropped acid, and wrote the rest of the book. Because he was like, it's a mom and a son named Paul and Jessica. And, ugh, this is boring. Dropped a tab and then was like, Bene Gesserit. You know what I mean?
The Fremen.
Also, let's just say, so can I just sort of throw out there what I think the plot of the movie is? Because I actually think I did a pretty good job of understanding.
Yeah.
So there's three houses, right? Three major houses in this world. It's the house of Atreides. Which is Paul.
Yeah. Which is Atreides. Paul. They're good because their land is like beautiful and green. It's very Lord of the Rings where like everything green is good and everything like industrial is bad. Like we know this.
Okay, so that's Paul. That's Timothée and we like him. And the other ones are, there's the Bene Gesserit out there and they're the witches and like they're sort of like powerful and Paul's mother is one of them.
Yeah, never married the Duke of Atreides because he couldn't or something. She was his concubine, but they had kids together.
Yeah, so they kept using the word concubine.
Because they weren't married. And then he says, oh my God, this was so hot. And I was thinking about this the other day. Maybe it's just because like this is my dream of a man saying this to me. But like fucking Oscar Isaac, when he's in bed with Jessica and she's like, you must sleep. And like stroking his head. He says, I should have married you. God, horny to have Oscar Isaac say, because that's two things. That's two things I love, marriage and men being wrong.
Exactly. So that's happening. Mm. So what it happens is their house gets the opportunity to sort of become rich with the spice. And the spice is like this material that you want because it's going to make you live longer and be powerful and have those fierce blue eyes.
I don't remember if it makes you live longer, but it definitely like is, it's like gasoline basically. Like the spice, like, you know, it's basically Iraq, there's fucking oil and, you know, a bunch of countries are coming into the desert to get that like fossil fuel, which is the spice. And, you know, fuck all the people that live there is not how we feel, but that would be the attitude of the, you know, raping the earth as we do. Anyway, yeah, so they have to go. So the spice exists on Dune and the new house is taking over for the old house to like kind of control this resource.
Got it. But the Harkonnen, who are very evil and they're run by the Baron, who is disgusting.
Yeah, nasty.
He is told by someone in the camp Atreides that there might be a way in to the spice. So there's a betrayal and then there's like a war, right?
It's actually a plot from the Emperor. The Emperor is the one who's like, you know, there are all these ancient houses that all are on these different planets. The Emperor in a plot, spoiler alert, to like kind of wipe out this house of Atreides, which is like the popular house. I think that's like some sort of like backstory, which is like they have like, it's kind of very like the Starks, like they have an ancient claim or whatever, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So in an effort to like sort, it's a plot to thwart this house, which is he's going to say you can go on Dune and like get the spice, but really he's sabotaging them. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler.
It's a big old trap. Yeah. So basically what I would say to everyone is if you're like me and you're not necessarily following this beat by beat, you still can enjoy the movie.
Yeah. Like neither of us are right. Like we're both wrong.
I don't think there's a person out there that could summarize the plot. I would distrust the person that came in and said, I know exactly what's going on with Dune. I think part of it is you're like, huh?
Is it a huh though? I think that they did a really good job of like, I don't know, like it's a very complicated story. The David Lynch movie.
Yeah, talk about that.
It is a fucking trip. This is one of the weirdest fucking movies you can watch. It is really, really good in a way that you're like, I am watching something from like a time and a place. And what's interesting about it mm-hmm. is that it's, you know, what Dune is going to, you know, Timothée Dune, what Denis Villeneuve Dune is going to do Villeneuve. Is they're going to split it up into two. But the David Lynch one is one movie. And like the two movies are put into one movie and kind of squished by like a little storybook moment of like, kind of looks like the Bible. And it's like, and so Paul bonded with the Fremen and he lived there and Jessica had a child. And like, they kind of like do this weird time dash in the middle of it. The old one is fucking weird. There is like, first of all, the Harkonnens are like even more disgusting than they are in this. It's like a lot of like...
And I heard that they're also gay.
Well, there's a lot of weird like all bad villains, you know, kind of like early 80s. Like villains are perverted and they're perverted because they're kind of like... They have like homoerotic undertones. So there's like a lot of like shirtless men kind of being tortured and like the Baron kind of being like so turned on by it. And it's a lot of body horror stuff. Like all the Harkonnens have like weird, like robotic, like blood kind of wires coming out of their bodies. It's super fucked up and like hard to watch. And also the Bene Gesserit are not hot. In this movie, the Bene Gesserit, I mean, Jessica, she's serving you mugs. She's serving you subtle mugs. She's not overdoing it.
She's one of the most beautiful women in the world.
She is serving you kind of like very natural makeup, but like still look at me. In the movie.
The no makeup makeup.
In the David Lynch movie, they're like fully bald. It's like Roald Dahl witches. It's like, ah!
Well. I think that there's something to that, but also I do think there's something to these Bene Gesserit coming in and sort of like stomping the yard. You know what I mean? Like they come in and it does give it like a new, like sort of, you hate to say it, but fierce female energy.
Totally.
You know? And you're like, these are the witches that I want to see.
There's a mysticism to Dune, and I think the thing that I really loved about the modern Dune was like the production design and the style of it, because I thought that they did a really good job of like, I mean, the David Lynch one is kooky looky. Like if it were to be made today, it would be like fucking Valerian. You know what I mean? It's like that tone. And they made it pared down, but it still had its own like visual language, which wasn't like Star Wars. It wasn't Marvel. It was like cool and modern and like kind of editorial. Like it sort of looked like you were in like Kirsten Dunst's like Architectural Digest, you know, video of like, you know, really warm tones and like beautiful tile. Like we're not doing a lot with color, but we're doing a lot with like texture and warmth. That I found really interesting. Like they could have taken a lot of big swings, and I think that they took good swings where they did.
Right. You know, something I'm sensitive to in movies is when there's just too much sand. Mm. And I thought with this movie, is there going to be just way too much sand?
Right.
And
no beach. Famously no beach. It's sand with no beach, which is its own thing. We're not talking about like white sandy beaches.
No, we're talking very much rolling, like forever sand. You know what I mean?
For real.
And also the sand is even more dangerous because of the worms, who we haven't even talked about.
Oh,
and I felt like this movie like was very dynamic in terms of location. Like, it really did look cool. And I was actually looking up, sometimes I go on like the Oscar prediction websites, and they're saying that this is going to win like all the technical awards. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, and also to say nothing of the score.
Oh my God, Hans Zimmer.
That's my impression of the score.
Yeah.
If I could just do my best impression, Lauren.
We were walking. Lauren.
But I'm just saying, like, this score was unlike anything I had heard.
If we were definitely walking out the lot, like, ha da da ha, chi chi chu chu.
It was very guttural, I would say, and yeah, angry, but also rousing. And I was like, this was really fun to watch and listen to.
Yeah.
I can confirm I didn't understand all of it, because I don't think there's a human being that does. But watching it, and I would also say this, if you can get on about a metric ton of edibles, you're doing it right.
Yeah. We were stone cold sober.
We went stone cold sober. We had coffees.
Yeah. I mean, I don't, but again, like, I know that you didn't understand it, and I think that's maybe like your own journey and maybe something that you need to examine. Yeah. Because I do think like it's a very weird world, and I think that they did a very good job of just like sort of like, if you don't get hung up on like, wait, he's a baron and who's who and blah, blah, blah. Like, it does just kind of read like, okay, we're starting Star Wars. Like, it's basically also like the Bible. I mean, like, okay, so the Fremen are the Jews. And they're in the desert, and they are oppressed. They are an oppressed people. They're being like basically colonized for like the resources. You know, they're Jews. They're people in the Middle East. You know, you could apply a lot of things to them. And then there's
they need
like
a savior, mama.
They need a savior. And who has come to save them? Bone Structure. Timotei.
Yeah, 100%.
So basically the freaking Fremen have been talking about somebody who's going to come and unite not only the Fremen, but also the whole empire, or the Imperium, as they call it, the Imperium, which was fun that they weren't calling it the empire, Imperium. The whole Imperium, which I love. I love it when we take a word and we just change the end, and I know what they mean, but I know it's different.
Fuck it up a little bit.
Fuck it up a little bit. That's how you do space. It's like, oh, this is a telephone, but let's fuck it up a little bit. So you know it's a telephone, but also
now it's a telephone.
Now you're in space. Yeah, now it's a telephone. I got to bring them on the telephone.
Exactly. Especially when we've had so many other space movies, it's like you have to be even more, especially when you're going to be Dune, it's like we really got to fuck it up. So we're going to say Imperium, because Star Wars been saying Empire.
Yeah, you know we can be saying Empire.
Even if the novel predated Star Wars. I'm sorry, hun. Star Wars is here, and it's queer, and it's here to stay. And they've been saying Empire, so you're going to make up a new word. Imperium works. What I loved about the movie was every time he talked to someone new that was a Fremen, they sort of under their breath, but not really, went, okay, so this is probably him. Like the woman who's like the ecologist.
Yeah.
Right? So she meets him. Literally, he says one thing. Like, he's like, she's like, how'd you know to do your boots like that?
Literally.
And you're like sand, with your sand outfit. And he goes, well, it just seemed like that's the way they should be worn. And she looks at the floor and she goes, he will know your ways.
Yeah, totally. Everybody that sees him, like the farmers, the housekeepers, they see him and they're like, literally the translation is, oh my God, it's Jesus.
Yeah.
They're like going home to their like little like cooling pods underground where they live in. And they're like, guess who I saw at work today? Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus.
Jesus. He's here.
You're not even going to believe. And they're like, You're kidding me, girl. He knew how to do the boots? And she's like, he knew how to do the boots. And that was my big tip.
Was he nice? Please tell me he was nice.
And they're like, no. And then they go, but you know what? Does he need to be nice?
Like, he's
do
busy.
Do these people need to be nice?
He's busy.
He's busy. He's obviously got a lot going on.
He was having dinner with his family. So I get it. That he didn't really want to talk.
And it's like if even if one of the Fremen was like, well, he could have been nicer. What you need is to turn to that person and be like, you know what? Relax. Because he has a lot going on. His father is dead.
Jesus is allowed to have a bad day. Okay? And so is Timotei in this movie. What is his name in the movie? I'm like, oh, okay, Paul.
His name is Paul. Paul.
Famously Paul. Paul Atreides.
Famously Paul. Paul Atreides. Which actually is hot. That's a hot name. Atreides? So hot. Listen, I want to transition into a segment that I like to do here on this podcast called But How Is It a Queer Narrative? So, Sudi, here on the HBO Max Movie Club, because I'm the host in all the movies I watch, including even Cry Macho, I look for the queer narrative. And then I say elements of the queer narrative over a techno beat that is put in later. So, can we start my beat? Thank you.
Witches in Couture.
Boys having dreams.
Phallic worms. The fear of phallic worms. Toleration of pain.
Zendaya.
Okay, and that's how this film is a queer narrative. Do you have anything to add?
Artificial eye color. When drag queens put in those color contacts and you're like, whoa, what's happening?
That's actually huge. Colored contacts. Let me just, so play it one more time.
Colored contacts.
Great. Thank you so much. Mm-hmm. How else was this a queer narrative? I mean, I guess like, you know, truly an identity narrative, and any identity narrative is huge in the queer space.
I would say the reason why it is a queer narrative too, which is we haven't even talked about the voice, which is this fucking crazy voice that like the Bene Gesserit, the witches have, where they go into this weird tone. And then this tone of voice, which Matt, I'm going to ask you to do in just a moment.
Yeah, I can do it.
When you use it, the person does what you told them to do.
Yeah. So I want to apologize in advance for everyone that's going to hear this, because it's terrible. But Sudi, what would you like me to say in the voice? Like, what would you want me to command in the voice?
Get me a damn ice cream cone.
Okay, here's how it would be.
Get me a damn ice cream cone.
And it's so shocking when it happens.
It's like if a witch had nodes. It's like this weird pitch. And one of the three jokes in the movie is when Timotei, also a fun thing, also queer, is that his witch mom has been, quote, teaching him in the ways to like, basically it's like she's his stage mom and she had him and was like, I think I just gave birth to the savior. And it's kind of like if Mary was like, Jesus, go heal those people. She's like kind of like, like sort of like pulling the strings and like wants him to be this person. And so she trains him in the Bene Gesserit way so he can be like strong of mind.
You don't see it coming when it happens. And it's really crazy. Another way this is a queer narrative is the alternate form of communication, which is the sign language that they were doing. I really liked that.
Yeah. What was that?
And made me realize how useful that would be. Like, I would love to just have like a sort of, and it was weird, like oftentimes like she was not even like Jessica was barely even moving her arm, but it meant like a whole sentence and a half of shit. Like when she thought she was gonna get stabbed by her nurse or whatever, or her like attending, she was like, she said prepare for violence to the person behind her, and like she barely moved her wrist to say that. That was another way in which Jessica was an iconic character in cinema. I felt
the thing about Dune, and these are the stakes, which is like, if you are weak and stupid, you'll die in 1 second. You have to be like, you're living in kind of like, you know, this is why it's sort of like a courtly King Arthur drama. It's like Medici, where it's like you could be poisoned and killed at any fucking moment. And so like the Atreides, they know that they're the coolest planet. They know that the Imperium all wants to be them. And they know that people are trying to kill them. And so a lot of the movie is like basically all of them being like, never turn your back to the door. Like that's like from the beginning. Yeah. It's like we are training our like tiny shouldered, you know, beautiful Jesus with the jawline, training him how to not get murdered. So that's like the voice, that's like the sign language so they can communicate. It's very like people are behind closed doors. It's very like whispers, whispers.
It's giving soap.
It's giving soap fantasy.
It's giving soap opera. It's what it's giving. What it's giving is Dynasty in space.
Yeah.
That's really what's happening. Mm-hmm. That's, I mean, and that's really the way I think that I could best wrap up, like the way that I would encourage people to go into this is I would say, nibble on an edible. Mm. Get ready for a soap opera in space. You kept freaking me out a little bit because I would turn to you and you'd be like this. You'd be covering your ears. Because
I knew what was coming. I knew what stuff was coming.
And that made me freaked out. But so I'm saying like, I and that made me know to anticipate something.
Yeah.
So it was actually a good way to freak you out. So I would say to everyone out there, go with your friend that likes Dune.
Yeah.
And knows Dune.
I think that's
because
huge.
You need a bibliography.
Yeah.
You were my bibliography in such a useful way. And I think in order to really enjoy this,
you need somebody who's there, who's like, care about this. It's not stupid. It's actually cool.
And by the end, I have to tell you, I was really caring.
Yeah.
When the movie ended and it was like they were marching off into the desert, I was like, let me tell you something. Not only am I excited about this next one, I feel as though I need it.
And you also were excited to see like the funny Fremen. Like, you know, like Zendaya's friend.
Yeah, I'm waiting for the comic relief.
You know, who's like, ooh, a little bit, get it, spicy, honey. Okay, she's coming 100%. In. And I just need like, you know, two or three like good jokes. Put me in the background of scenes and pay me $2 million. Like, it's not, I will travel.
And listen, I don't want to like necessarily take this from you before it happens, but also I'm just saying, what if she had a gay friend? And she, and so it's like, imagine this, like just imagine this.
Okay.
So Zendaya comes out and she's like ready to go into the desert to like do whatever. And my character goes, you're wearing that?
Yeah, that's good. Okay, what if I'm her funny friend?
Just saying.
What if I'm the funny Fremen and you are, I'm just going to say it, the assistant to Zendaya and like, you know, and so we kind of have like our own side thing. Yeah, we kind of have our own side thing because you know when Zendaya goes off, you and I are like drinking her wine and like talking shit. And we're the Fremen, and you're Greek, and I'm Persian, so it really just makes sense. Like, we were born for that moment.
We should be there. And then, of course, we have a scene at the end where we fight to the absolute death and both die, unfortunately, accidentally by our own hand.
Oh, for sure. We gotta die, and we gotta die big.
And it's hilarious.
And then
and
quickly move on. Yeah. Yeah. LOL. Yeah.
Did this movie pass the Bechdel test? I think it did.
Yeah. Well, no.
It did. Because there's the scene with Jessica and her mother, but they're talking about Paul.
They're talking about her. Paul
never mind,
and
not
husband.
That scene. But the scene with Jessica and her like handmaid, that might help it pass the Bechdel test.
You know what? I'm gonna give it a pass because
okay.
I'm sorry.
Because I liked it.
I'm gonna give it a pass because I thought it was
a
good movie.
I'm gonna give it a pass
because
I liked it.
No, I mean it's. It's the story of, it's Paul's story, okay? It's not pretending to not be a Paul story. And I do think that the female characters are really interesting and dynamic and do a lot. And yeah, they are always talking about Paul because it's like a Jesus story. It's like Frodo. It's fucking, right. You know what I mean? It is what it is.
And Jesus is very much the star of life. So if like, Jesus is around, you're going to talk about him. Sudie Green, any final thoughts on Dune? And anything you would say to someone who's maybe on the fence about seeing it because it just seems like so much?
I'm going to say you should see it because I think that in terms of like a high budget fantasy story, it's really well done and that's hard to do. Uh-huh. And I would say that it's way better than any superhero movie that's come out. Of late.
Feels like it almost didn't have to be this good. You know
it
what
didn't
I mean?
Have to be this good. It was better than like a lot of the Star Wars movies that have come out. I'm just going to say like not all of them, but I'm saying like, you know, some of them it was better.
Yeah.
Way better.
It, you know who's gonna, you know who's gonna love that you say that?
Hmm.
HBO Max.
Oh, really?
Anyway, everyone, I want you to know that I really very much enjoyed Dune, but I actually did enjoy something more, and it was my conversation with you, Sudi, about the film.
Aw, that's sweet. I enjoyed both, but I enjoyed the movie maybe a little bit more.
I get it, 100%. I can take that. You guys, I will see you again soon for another episode of HBO Max Movie Club. Go watch Dune in the theater or for a limited time on HBO Max. Sudi Green, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
HBO Max Movie Club is a production of HBO Max and iHeartRadio, hosted by me, Matt Rogers. It's executive produced by Ethan Fixell, produced by Camila Salazar, researched by Steve Griffin, and engineered, edited, and mixed by Matt Stillo. If you haven't already subscribed, rated, or reviewed HBO Max Movie Club, please do so on the iHeartRadio app, HBO Max, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you might get your podcasts. Thanks for checking out the HBO Max Movie Club. Be sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter at HBO Max Movies.
Dune is available in theaters and on HBO Max in the U.S. only for 31 days from theatrical release. You can catch David Lynch's 1984 version of Dune on HBO via HBO Max until November 30th, 2021. You can also watch Lord of the Rings, The Fellowship of the Ring, The Two Towers, and The Return of the King on HBO Max until December 31st, 2021.